Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. I am your host, as always, Jeff Johnson. Hope you guys are having a great week. Hope you guys are staying safe during this tough time, during this pandemic. And, you know, before we get started, I want to talk about something that happened today as we're recording this. It's not AEW related, but it is WWE related. It is a big news story that broke earlier today when the WWE released many wrestlers and producers and one referee as well. And, you know, make sure you guys listen to Matt's breakdown of this when his show drops either tonight or tomorrow, which he'll be doing an extensive breakdown on everybody that was released and give his thoughts on that. But since it broke today, I wanted to go ahead and give the names to you guys and also talk about a couple of guys and how if they were to go to AEW, how they would kind of fit in certain situations, how I think they would do over there. But real quick, the names of the wrestlers that were released today are Rusev, Drake Maverick, Kurt Hawkins, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Zack Ryder, EC3, Leo Rush, Eric Young, Heath Slater, Aiden English, Sarah Logan, Eric Rowan, Mike and Maria Kanellis, No Way Jose, Primo Cologne, and Epico Cologne. When it comes to the producers, the producers released were Kurt Angle, Billy Kidman, Mike Rotunda, Dave Finley, Pat Buck, Sean Devari, Scott Armstrong, Sarah Stock, Shane Helms, and Lance Storm. Now, they did say that the producers are furloughed, which means that they will hopefully be brought back, that they're kind of just laid off for right now. And then once this whole, you know, coronavirus pandemic ends, that they will be brought back. But they haven't said anything about the wrestlers. And from what I've been told, from what I've read, the wrestlers are gone. Like the cuts for them are done and over with. You know, they can move on and do other things. But when it comes to the producers, they will be brought back. Hopefully, some of the wrestlers are brought back too. I hate this. You know, this breaks my heart to see this. I know it's been a long time since we had like a massive cutting spree. You know, they used to call it spring cleaning in a way, which being that time of year, you know, we used to get this about twice a year, and especially in the mid-2000s this happened, but it's been a long time since we had a bunch of people cut at one time. You know, you can talk about whatever reason it was for, whether it be the XFL or just, you know, not bringing in enough money when it comes to live events, stuff like that. That's you know, it doesn't matter. What matters is that these are people that lost their jobs. And I'm not going to go, like I said, I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'm going to let Matt take care of this. You know, Matt's going to do a great job breaking all this down and giving his opinions. But before we get started on Dynamite, though, I do want to talk about a couple of guys that I think could have a big time career in AEW. Oh, before real quick, Deonna Purrazzo and Alexander Jakesick from NXT was also released. I wanted to bring them up because I think Deonna Purrazzo is a great talent. I think they're both great talents, but I think Deonna Purrazzo could have a great career in AEW. I think she could really help boost up that that women's division over there. But a couple of guys I want to talk about when it comes to AEW potentially. First is Rusev. I think Rusev is the big name to come out of this. The big single star. He's been beloved by the fans for a long time. You know, the Rusev Day chants. You know, coming out in a tank. I think he would fit in perfectly over in AEW. I think he's a good wrestler. He's good on the mic. He's got a lot of personality. If you guys ever watched him on Up, Up, Down, Down, he's, you know, very, very outgoing. And it's very interesting that this happened considering his wife Lana signed a 5-year deal either late last year or early this year. So she's there for the foreseeable future. And she wasn't released, but Rusev was. So Rusev's a guy that I could definitely see flourishing in AEW. The next guys I want to talk about are, of course, the Good Brothers, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. you know, these guys, their history speaks for themselves, how good they are. They're one of the best tag teams in the world. Never really got that opportunity to show that in WWE. They did a couple of title reigns, but never really got that spark that they had back in New Japan. And, you know, seeing them be as part of the tag team division in AEW, of course, would be massive. Especially having the Elite there, having the Young Bucks match up with these guys. You could do a throwback to some old school Bullet Club if you wanted to. You know, there's a lot of possibilities. I think Anderson and Gallows would be great over there. And with there not being that many big guys over in AEW, you know, besides maybe a Lance Archer or a Brody Lee, Luke Gallows is going to be one of the bigger guys there. So I think it'd be a great gift for both of those. Two more guys I want to talk about real quick. First one being Zack Ryder. I think Zack Ryder would be a huge get for AEW because he's been a fan favorite for a long time. You know, he's that one guy where everybody was like, you know, give him a shot, give him an opportunity. He's got a great look. He's a great worker. He's great on the mic. You know, he's the total package. But the WWE just really never gave him that opportunity. But he has that name value. Obviously, he wouldn't be Zack Ryder, but everybody knows his real name. Everybody knows him outside of WWE, you know, through his podcasting work and his internet work. So Zack Ryder would be a huge get right off the bat to head to AEW. And I love some of the potential matchups with him. The last guy I want to talk about is EC3. You know, personally, I don't see EC3 going to AEW. I could kind of see him rather going to Impact or maybe taking a chance over in Japan. I think that's, you know, he hasn't done a whole lot in Japan as far as I know. And I think, you know, the way they're taking in, you know, the American talent and kind of giving them that platform over there, I'd like to see EC3 over there, especially with, you know, Moxley kind of being set here for the time. Well, everybody's kind of set because of everything going on. Everything I'm talking about here is kind of after the pandemic, after everybody's able to travel again, everything's kind of back to normal. You know, I would love to see EC3 in Japan, in New Japan, have some of those matchups with like a Jay White or an Okada or a Tanahashi. You know, I love those matchups for EC3 because he's a very underutilized talent. You know, he's an amazing look. I mean, he's chiseled from stone. He's like a Greek god. So, you know, you can make him that evil American heel over in New Japan and let him, you know, do his thing over there. But I really would enjoy seeing him. I know I was going to say too, but there is one more real quick I'm going to bring up. I want to talk about Eric Rowan. Eric Rowan got cut today. And of course, with Brody Lee, you know, being in AEW now and he and Rowan being such good friends, it wouldn't surprise me if he puts a word in for Rowan to come over. You know, I know Brody has said that he wants to kind of, you know, he wants to pave his own path. And when he was on Jericho's podcast talking about him, his and Rowan's tag team, that, you know, Rowan was kind of his safety blanket in a way, but it's also he was pigeonholed a little bit when he came to Rowan because he really couldn't get that singles run. Because when you think of the two, you think of Rowan and Harper. And, you know, if you were to move Rowan over to AEW, I feel like that same thing could happen again, where you see them and it's like, okay, well, it's going to be Brody Lee and whatever Rowan's name is. You know, his real name is Joseph Rudd, but, you know, whatever his name over in AEW would be, you would immediately want to put those two together. And I really want to see what Brody Lee can do on his own. And then, you know, as you guys know, I'm not a big fan of the current, you know, Brody Lee McMahon gimmick he's got going, but I do think it does have some legs, and there could be a good end game to this, and I want to see where it goes. You know, I don't want to see Eric Rowan come in and stop the momentum, and then we get Harper Rowan 2.0, you know, in AEW. We're going to get that with the Revival already coming in with Dawson and Wilder, because they're obviously going to be a tag team. They were released in the last week or the week before, so they're going to make an immediate impact as soon as they come in as a tag team. But I want to see Rowan, and especially Brody Lee, on his own to see what he can do, and he's in that spot right now. So, you know, wouldn't mind seeing Rowan in AEW, but I feel like if he does, it's just naturally everybody's going to want to put those two together, and that's not what I want right now. Me personally, of course. All right, guys. Well, that's kind of my thoughts on all the cuts. Like I said, it does suck. It is very sad that people are losing their jobs, especially with everything going on in the world. You know, that goes for everybody. That goes for, you know, not just pro wrestling, but, you know, all of humanity right now. People losing their jobs and things being very difficult. And I don't want to get negative. I'm trying to keep this as positive as possible, but, you know, it is the real world we live in right now. So, you know, we're going to spend the next 45 minutes or so, 30, 45 minutes talking about Dynamite. And I think it's going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to it. We got the big main event tonight with Moxley versus Hager for the AEW World title in a empty arena no holds barred match, which Tony Khan is saying will be the greatest empty arena match of all time. We'll see. I still love Mankind and The Rock. Excuse me. But it's got a lot to live up to, so we'll see how good it's going to be. But it's going to be a fun show, guys. I'm really looking forward to it. And also, if you guys haven't, make sure you guys check out Being the Elite next week if you guys haven't been caught up. There was a three-part episode this week that dropped on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And there's a big match going to take place on episode 200 next week between Matt and Nick Jackson in a no holds barred match. So that's going to be a really cool match. I'll probably talk about it on the podcast next week because it is such a big match for it being on YouTube, being on Being the Elite. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you guys want a little bit of extra content, make sure you guys check out Being the Elite. And speaking of that, if you guys want more extra content, make sure to subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all of your podcasting platforms, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you know, wherever you guys get your podcast, make sure you subscribe to the channel, especially with everything going on right now. You know, we still have a great team here breaking down NXT during the week, Raw, SmackDown, all the news. We got the Retro Show. So much content for you guys throughout the week. And then now with this happening today, you know, Matt's going to be talking about this, and it's going to be a definite great listen. So make sure you guys subscribe. You know, if you're on Apple iTunes or if you're on Apple Podcasts or whatever, make sure you leave a 5-star review. Give us a review. You know, tell us what you think. And, you know, it helps us grow. It helps get our name out there. And this is a great, great platform. And everybody here works really hard. So, all right, I'm done rambling on. It's time, guys. Let's get into this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. So Dynamite starts this week with a video package featuring Jake the Snake Roberts and Lance Archer. Very similar to some of the other promos from the last couple of weeks. Jake the Snake, kind of hyping up Lance Archer. They showed some videos of Archer doing some backyard wrestling in a makeshift ring, just destroying guys. And, you know, it was a good way to hype him up heading into their... into Archer's match tonight against Colt Cabana for the TNT tournament. We actually got some words from Colt Cabana right after this, where Cabana talked about his history and how he's a 15-year veteran. He's done it all, you know, very, very typical stuff, you know, for typical babyface stuff. But I like what he had to say about Archer, where Archer went over to Japan, made a name for himself, and really dominated over there. But people don't realize Colt Cabana did the same thing. He went over to Japan and China and had, you know, was very, very successful there before coming back to the States and, you know, being one of the founders. I don't want to say founders, but one of the main staples of the indie division here in the United States. So very, very good promo from Jake Roberts and from Colt Cabana. And this is a match I've been really looking forward to because, you know, Colt Cabana's undefeated. Lance Archer's undefeated as well. But Archer's just been kind of destroying everybody. And Cabana's been a little more competitive matches, but he's won all of his matches. And that's actually what we start the show with in the ring this week is a quarterfinal match in the TNT Championship Tournament between Lance Archer and Colt Cabana. This was a really fun match. When Archer came out, he walked around the ring and actually decked somebody in the crowd. It was another wrestler. They had the wrestlers in the crowd again this week, kind of like how they have the last few weeks. I couldn't see who it was. I'll have to go back and check and see. I thought it was Jungle Boy, or not Jungle Boy. I thought it was Marco Stunt at first, but I could be wrong. Jericho and Shivani are on commentary, and Jericho was laughing about it after it happened. But Archer got in the ring, and they started fighting right off the bat. And this was a fun match. This is definitely the longest match that Archer's had in AEW. You know, it wasn't a squash match. It was very competitive both ways. Archer did dominate quite a bit of the match, but Cabana started making a comeback towards the end. And Archer hit a huge pounce that dropped Cabana. And he sits Cabana on the top rope and lifts him up for the reverse outsider's edge that he calls the blackout. And hits it for the victory. So Lance Archer moves on to the second round of the TNT tournament, where he'll face the winner of Kip Sabian and Dustin Rhodes. So, yeah, very good match. And like I said, this was kind of the first time we've seen Lance Archer in an actual match, you know, in a competitive match, and I'm very, very impressed with him. I'm starting to like him more and more each time I see him. Jericho and Shivani were both hyping him on commentary, talking about how he's a future world champion, and I agree with that. I mean, I think sooner than later, Lance Archer is going to be, you know, the face of AEW when it comes to holding that title. And he's a big mean monster. You know, he's the Murder Hawk monster for a reason. They call him that. And he's impressive. He's very, very impressive. I know a lot of guys watched him when he was Lance Hoyt in Impact, and he was impressive then too. But since he took over this Murder Hawk monster gimmick, he's been taken to another level, and he showed this more brutal side in New Japan, and it's translated very, very well in AEW also. I don't think this loss hurts Cabana at all. Cabana had a good showing. You know, it is his first defeat in AEW, but, you know, Cabana's a legend. You know, yeah, he's never really been in the big spotlight of a major company. You know, he had a cup of coffee with WWE as Scotty Goldman, and, you know, now he's in AEW late in his career. But, you know, he's so well-known. Everybody knows who Colt Cabana is. I mean, he's a legend in pro wrestling, and I love the story of Colt Cabana. I own all of his Wrestling Road Diaries. I've watched them all multiple times, and, you know, I have followed his podcast for years. I'm happy Boom Boom's in AEW, and I think he's going to do some really good stuff here. After this, we got another video package with Britt Baker. She's actually in a dentist office talking about her match with Hikaru Shida last week. And, you know, I'm really enjoying heel Britt Baker. I wasn't a big fan of it at first. You know, I thought it was a little forced, but it seems like each week she's getting better and better in her role. And, you know, obviously she's learning from somebody very well, which, you know, in my opinion, her boyfriend Adam Cole is one of the best cocky heels in the world, and he has been for most of his career. So, you know, she does a good job of kind of bringing Adam Cole to AEW in the way she presents herself. And, you know, she's getting very comfortable in it, and I like a lot of things she's doing. She's talking about being a role model and how Shida had to go to desperate measures and did desperate physicality to beat her last week to bust her nose open. And it was a good promo. I really enjoyed it. Britt's really growing on me as a heel. Yeah, she was getting a little stale as a babyface. I agree. You know, a lot of people kind of said that. I agree with that. But she's doing well. You know, she's doing well. Very, like I said, getting better and better. And I think in the ring, she's a lot better as a heel. You know, her mannerisms, the way she moves around, her pace. I think, you know, she's a more natural heel in the ring, you know, than a babyface. So she's definitely in the right role. And I think this is the role that's really going to elevate her. And we're actually going to see her in a match coming up pretty soon here on Dynamite. And I expect her to get not a victory over Shida, but to kind of get her victory back from last week. So, yeah, big fan of Britt Baker and the stuff that she's doing right now. Back in the arena, we got the aforementioned Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, taking on Cassandra Golden. Golden having her second appearance in AEW, her first being on AEW Dark and a loss to Hikaru Shida. And actually, Golden is from Little Rock, Arkansas, which is my home state. So I was really excited to see somebody from locally here in Arkansas having a shot on AEW. So, you know, I was very, very happy to see that. But the match didn't last long. This, like I mentioned earlier, this was going to be a match to kind of get Britt back in the win column. It was very quick. She put Cassandra's mouth on the rope, stopped on the back of her head. Jericho said that she needed a root canal after that. And I actually think that's a good name for that finisher if they did that, the root canal. And so hopefully that's the direction they go. But yeah, definitely a quick squash win for Britt Baker. She looked really good in the match. I feel like that they're probably going to do her and Shida again here soon. Shida was in the crowd during this match. They jawed at each other a little bit. So I don't think this feud is over. You know, not sure what's going on with the women's champion Nyla Rose right now. I haven't seen her in a few weeks. It's been a lot of Hikaru Shida and a lot of Britt Baker. So, you know, maybe this is a feud that they're going to do for a little bit to kind of let the time pass before Nyla Rose comes back and they can, you know, and Shida can head towards that women's title match that she definitely deserves, winning 8 of her last 9 matches. So, yeah, but with that being said, a good showing by Britt Baker tonight. We got a video package talking about the match, the main event tonight between Hager and Moxley. And actually what they're doing is they're bringing in guys from other aspects giving their predictions on this. And a couple of guys they brought in is from the MMA world, which, as if you guys don't know, MMA is kind of my second passion behind pro wrestling. I do a mixed martial arts podcast twice a week also, the Effing For Real MMA podcast. So I love mixed martial arts. I'm a huge fan of it. And they got predictions from Ariel Helwani, who's part of ESPN, and from Mike Goldberg, who's the voice of Bellator MMA. And, of course, both of them picked Hager to win the match. Taz came on and said he picked Moxley to win, and then I'm forgetting the guy's name. I apologize. I'd have to go back and look at it, but a comedian, very, very funny guy, came on and gave his prediction. He picked John Moxley by, you know, doing the intro that Justin Roberts does, and it was really good. It was really funny. So, you know, so I like the way they're doing this by giving the predictions from different guys. You know, again, the MMA guys are kind of behind Hager. The wrestling guys are behind Moxley. It tells a really good story. I like it. So they're really hyping this matchup. So this main event, once it gets there, is going to be incredible. Back in the arena, we got our next matchup, which pitted the Spanish god Sammy Guevara taking on Shug D. Now, Shug D's had some good showings on Dark lately. He's been very, very impressive. And this is a guy that I'm really starting to get behind. And he was very entertaining on Dynamite last week, too. He was the one that Jericho kept calling Pineapple Pete when he was standing in the crowd. But this was his, if I'm not mistaken, this was his first time actually in the ring on Dynamite. And, it was a fun match, but this was another showcase match. This was a match to get Sammy Guevara in the win column, to get him ready for his TNT tournament match coming up probably next week or the week after. I'd say probably next week. You know, Sammy looked really impressive, and Sammy's really, you know, he's another one of those guys that's really taken off. You know, him and Darby Allin, in my opinion, are probably the two that have really taken it to the next level since AEW started and made a big name for themselves. And, you know, Guevara's had Jericho in his corner. That's really helped him out a lot, really helped get him over. But Sammy's in a lot of it by himself, too. And I'm becoming a really big fan of Sammy Guevara. And Jericho mentioned something kind of interesting after the match. Guevara hit it was like a reverse Death Valley driver, but it was into almost like a go to sleep in a way. And he ended up getting the victory with that. But Jericho afterwards made a point. He said, you know, if this was the old Sammy Guevara, he would have hit a shooting star press or something like that. But because of Jericho's tutelage, he just knees him in the face and beats him. And that really got me thinking. I was like, you know, I didn't realize that Guevara really has taken more of a ground role in his matches. You know, yeah, he can still fly. He can do some of that, you know, the high-flying lucha stuff that he learned in AAA. But he has gotten a lot better on the ground and learning more strikes and you know, chain holds and wrestling and stuff like that. And he's really becoming a big time great all around performer. So the sky's the limit for Sammy Guevara. They mentioned, you know, he's only 26 years old. He still has a long career ahead of him. So, man, Sammy Guevara is going to be a big star for a long time. And this was a showcase match for him. You know, he's got the big match with Darby Allin coming up, and actually called out Darby Allin after the match. He, you know, called him a face-painted freak and said he was going to beat the S out of him. And then he said he was going to set an example right here and end up attacking Shug D after the match. Darby ran in to make the save, but Guevara bailed to end the segment. But, you know, it was a good segment. It was fun. The match was good for what it was while it lasted, but it was another squash match, which has been kind of the MO for the show tonight. You know, we had our opener that was competitive, but it's been kind of squash matches ever since. But, you know, they're doing a good job of highlighting certain people and kind of moving people up the ladder. And that Guevara and Darby Allin match is going to be awesome when it happens. You know, the winner of that will face Cody in the semis. And that's going to be either direction, whether it be Darby Allin or Sammy Guevara, will be an awesome matchup with Cody Rhodes. So, yeah, looking forward to it. I'm glad and I like the way that they're booking this so far. You know, we got a few more predictions for the main event. We got Big John McCartney from Bellator giving his prediction, of course, for Hager to win the match. Then we got Excalibur giving his prediction that Jake Hager's going to win the match. So still sticking to what they've been doing with the MMA guys picking Hager and the wrestling guys picking Moxley. So this is probably going to be the norm for the rest of the night until the match happens. So it is cool, though. I really like how they're digging this. How they're doing this, I should say. I'm digging how they're doing this. It's cool. And, you know, maybe they might throw us a curveball here in a minute and have an MMA guy pick Moxley. But, you know, the way they're going, they're going to be a little predictable with it. But doesn't make the main event any less exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for it to get here. So before we get to the next match, I got to go back a couple of segments that I missed. There was a parody video. The Inner Circle doing a parody of the Brady Bunch with social distancing. This was actually really funny and really well done. Excuse me. It started off with Santana and Ortiz on FaceTime. You could see Santana first. He was talking trash, talking about Moxley and everything. Then the camera switches over to Ortiz sitting in his room. And they kind of – what they were kind of doing is going from one member of the Inner Circle to the next. Ortiz is sitting there talking to Santana, and then he sends it over to Sammy Guevara. Sammy's pumping weights, looking jacked, you know, looking like a Spanish god. And just this whole time they're talking about Matt Hardy, talking about the Elite, you know, just kind of trashing everybody that they're feuding with right now. Sammy Guevara pushes it over to Jake Hager. Hager's sitting poolside with his kids, and Hager tells his kids to earmuff, and they put their hands over their ears, and he says he's going to beat the S out of Jon Moxley in their match tonight. And then Hager sends it over to Jericho. Jericho's cooking eggs in his kitchen and actually makes a Tiger King reference that was really funny. If you guys haven't watched Tiger King yet, I'm sure most of you have, so you would get it if you saw it, talking about that Jericho's going to chop somebody up and feed him. And I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was really funny though. So if you guys get a chance, it's really hard for me to do justice on this segment. Because it's really out there, you know, kind of how a lot of Inner Circle segments are. But it was really good. It was really well done. They're kind of doing the whole social distancing thing, and I recommend it. It was, you know, if you guys get a chance, go back and watch it. You know, find it on YouTube. Watch this segment. It was a lot of fun. It was very, very lighthearted, and, you know, the Inner Circle is so good. Every member is pretty awesome. Back in the arena, though, we got a matchup putting Superbad Kip Sabian taking on Chucky T, one half of the Best Friends. This is a good match. It was very back and forth the entire time. Definitely not a squash match. We know we've had quite a few squash matches on this show. Both guys had some good shining moments. I like the ending segment to this. Penelope Ford gets on the apron, takes her jacket off, you know, kind of trying to seduce Chucky T. But Chucky turns around and takes a shot from Sabian, and Sabian walks over and kisses Penelope Ford. Well, Ford kind of jumps down, and Orange Cassidy jumps on the apron. He takes off his jacket like he's trying to seduce Kip Sabian. It was really funny. And while this is going on, Jimmy Havoc jumps the rail and attacks Orange Cassidy. I was really surprised to see that. I guess it looks like there's some kind of either a stable or a partnership going on now between Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian. And Sabian ended up distracting the ref while Penelope Ford hit a head scissor on Chucky T, and Sabian rolled him up to get the victory. So good win for Kip Sabian to give him some momentum heading into the TNT tournament match, probably in 2 weeks against Dustin Rhodes. And, you know, I don't think this hurts Chucky T at all. He and Trent have been having some really good tag team matches lately. You know, I have talked the last couple of weeks about Trent possibly going the singles route and what they would do with Chucky T. And I still feel like that Trent is he's the bigger star of the two. And he's the one that would probably have the better singles run. But, you know, it does look like they're going to stay a tag team and for the foreseeable future. The announcers did a good job of putting the entire tag team over, not just Trent, not just Chucky T. So looks like the Best Friends are going to be staying together for a while. Now, I'm interested to see where this whole thing with Orange Cassidy and Jimmy Havoc is going to go. I would expect them to probably have a match next week, which would be great. We've only seen Orange Cassidy have a match once in AEW, and that was his match against Pac at Revolution, and ended up being a show stealer, one of the most talked about matches of the evening. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this match. I think both guys are crazy. You know, Jimmy Havoc's got his weird style that he does. You know, Orange Cassidy, of course, we know what he does. So that's going to be a really fun match if and when that match happens. But when it comes to this match, though, it was a good showing for Kip Sabian. Like I said, got some momentum heading into his match against Dustin. And I think that's going to be – it's probably the match that people are looking the least forward to in the tournament. But I think it could be a very sneaky good match. You know, both guys are very good. Dustin's always worked well with smaller guys, and I think he'll be able to bump well for Sabian. And of course, Sabian is going to make Dustin look like $1 million too. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a match that people are going to sit there and afterwards and go, "Wow, they, you know, that was really, really good." I think it's definitely going to be one of those matches. So, you know, the tournament's looking really good so far. Everybody's getting the right momentum. We've had a couple people already advance, and it's moving on. So, good showing, good match tonight by both Kip Sabian and Chucky T. Next up, we got the debuting Justin Law taking on the chairman of AEW, Sean Spears. Kind of the mood and the MO for tonight. This was a quick match for Sean Spears. You know, he had a big win on Dynamite against Billy Gunn earlier this week. So, you know, two big wins for Sean Spears after losing to Cody in the tournament. So, you know, I mentioned after the Cody match that I was really impressed with Sean Spears. I've been a big fan of his since he was Ty Dillinger in NXT. And I'm waiting for him to get that big opportunity because I think there's so much potential with him. You know, he's got a great look. He's a great talker. He's good in the ring. I've always been such a fan of his. And I feel like he just needs that opportunity to make it. And he never got that opportunity in WWE. He's been used kind of sparingly in AEW. He had the feud with Cody that culminated at All Out last year. But, you know, that was about it. He really didn't do much after that. But it looks like he's starting to get a little more TV time. He's starting to pick up some victories with a great showing, you know, in defeat against Cody in the tournament. I think this is the start of something for him, and I'm really happy about that. And then once Tully Blanchard comes back and gets back in his corner, I think things are really going to take off for him. You know, I thought Justin Law looked fine. You know, it was a squash match. You know, his making his debut. This was all about Sean Spears. So, yeah, Dynamite tonight's kind of just been a showcase for certain guys to make them look good, to, you know, keep them on that top pedestal, especially with the TNT tournament. So I'm not against it. I think it's smart, and because you want to give guys as much momentum as possible heading into big matches. You know, we saw it with Colt Cabana when, you know, he was undefeated heading to his match with Lance Archer. Lance Archer was undefeated, and it made the match better. It made the match more unpredictable. So, you know, I think they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job of booking this, and the tournament's fun. And once we get to the semifinals, it's really going to ramp up. So, so good showing by Sean Spears over the last couple of nights between Dark and Dynamite, and I'm excited to see what they do with him going forward. It is main event time, guys. This is the match we've been waiting for the last couple of weeks. It is time for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship match, pitting the challenger Jake Hager taking on the champion Jon Moxley in an empty arena, no holds barred match. We got a little surprise with this, too. We were joined by Jim Ross. Jim Ross is doing solo commentary for this match. And this match was a lot of fun, guys, which, you know, we knew going into it probably would have been. But these guys, they brought it all. I mean, they were fighting all over the arena. They were laying in their big shots. A chair got involved. They both used to their advantage. This was a lot of fun, you know. And I know both guys are big time professionals, and I knew that even without a crowd, they'd go in there and put on a great no holds barred match. And that's what they did. You know, there were some big moments and big spots in this match, and the biggest moment in my opinion was when Jake Hager put the triangle choke on Hager, and Hager put the triangle choke on Moxley is what I was trying to say, and Hager hasn't lost. Or he hasn't had anybody get out of that since he's been in AEW. That's been his finisher. That's, you know, it's been bam, done anytime he's put it on. But Moxley was able to fight out of it. And at the end of the match, Moxley hit the paradigm shift on a chair and got the victory. And, you know, this match went really long. It went about 30 minutes, pretty close. And like I said, they fought all over the arena. Everything was involved, if you can think about it. You know, it wasn't like too hardcore, I guess you could say, but it had its moments. You know, it had its empty arena moments, and it was a really good match. You guys definitely need to check this match out if you haven't watched it yet. Like I said, it does go about 30 minutes. It's kind of a long match, but you know, it's not really slow at any points. I thought the pacing was really good. Both guys had a great showing, and you know, I'm going to give AEW some big credit here because I am a WWE fan, but there's one thing that really has always kind of bothered me about the booking in WWE is the 50-50 booking and the fact that we get so many disqualifications and intentional countouts and stuff like that. Is you know, they tend to protect certain superstars so, you know, so much. And, you know, they're scared to really put anybody over or have anybody lose. Unless it's like in a pay-per-view, like at the end of a feud. But, you know, AEW's not afraid to do that. You know, they talk about wins and losses mattering, and it does. It really does matter. Because Jake Hager went to this match undefeated. He had been an absolute monster. Nobody's been able to figure him out. We've seen all the highlight videos, the hype videos, you know, the interviews. Everybody just saying that he's so dominant. He's going to win this match. And it was Moxley that got the win. Moxley, you know, hit, pinned him clean in the middle of the ring with a paradigm shift on a chair, which I guess, you know, about as clean as it gets for being a Noel's Bard match. But I like that because what it does is it really helps Moxley. You know, it doesn't hurt Hager too much. It does make Hager look vulnerable. It makes him look human. But, I mean, it's wrestling. It's an art. It's a sport. And, you know, Hager's going to come back and he's going to be stronger and he's going to learn from this. But this really puts over Moxley as a fighting strong champion. Because this is the first time we've seen him defend the title since he won it from Jericho. And going against a guy that's undefeated and, you know, is on top of the world right now and beating him is huge. It's huge. And in my opinion, this really solidified Moxley as the AEW champion. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that I'm a big mixed martial arts fan, and every mixed martial arts champion will tell you that, you know, yes, you know, you're a champion when you win the belt, but you don't feel like a champion until you defend it. And, you know, that's how Moxley is now. Like, he has officially defended the title against somebody the caliber of a Jake Hager. So this did a lot for me. And you guys, the guys that follow me on social media, you guys know I'm very boisterous about Jon Moxley. There's certain things I like about him. There's certain things I don't like about him. I do think he's overrated in certain aspects. But there's a lot of things he does really well, too. And this, me personally, this really helped me in my fandom towards Jon Moxley. Because now I watch him, I go, okay, he's legit. Like, he's legit. He's the champion. And I'm okay with that. And I'm perfectly fine with him moving forward as the champion. And I'm curious to see who's going to be next. You know, who's going to be the next one to step up and give Moxley a run at his title. You know, Hager was pretty obvious from the start, unless it was going to be Jericho. I still think, I guess Moxley could feud with Jericho and the Inner Circle a little more, but I think we're going to start seeing some movement between Kenny and Hangman. You know, I think they're going to drop the titles here pretty soon. I don't know if there's going to be any kind of heel turn. Anybody's talking about that, you know, or like that. But I think Kenny and Moxley's coming. I think there's still some animosity, some bad blood there from Double or Nothing last year. You know, their insane lights out match that they had. You know, I feel like they're due for the big title match at a pay-per-view. And I think that's coming. I think it's going to be Kenny and Moxley. And it wouldn't surprise me if Kenny won the title. I know I said the same thing about Hager. And, you know, there was a strong part of me that figured Hager was going to win that match. But it's pro wrestling and it's AEW. And AEW likes to kind of think outside the box a little bit. And with Kenny, you know, I'm not going to say Kenny's used his EVP position. That's not what I'm getting at. But Kenny is a legitimate champion. Like, he, you know, nobody would be upset or bat an eye if Kenny Omega beat Jon Moxley. I can't say the same thing about Jake Hager. If Hager beat Moxley, there'd be a lot of upset people that think, you know, oh, they're just using Hager's MMA background and the star he's made through WWE and stuff like that, you know, to make him champion, which is ridiculous. But, you know, some people are going to say that. Kenny's different. You know, Kenny is a product. Yes, he's, you know, made his name in New Japan, but he's an AEW guy. Like, and that's what he's known as. It's the same thing with Hangman Page. You know, people said the same thing when he was feuding with Jericho for the title. And Kenny's right there as well. So, you know, I think next week, maybe not next week, it might be a couple weeks, I think they're going to get through this TNT tournament first before we start seeing where Moxley's going to go with the AEW title. Could be sooner. I do still think there's some unfinished business with Jericho and Matt Hardy. You know, last week Matt Hardy invited Jericho to the compound for the Elite Deletion match, but which Jericho still has not answered to this point. But I think Kenny's it, man. That, you know, guys, that's a guess. You know, I haven't heard anything. That's just my opinion. I don't see who else it is right now. Maybe Sammy Guevara. You know, I don't think he's quite there. Plus, he's busy with the TNT tournament right now too. So I don't see it being Sammy Guevara. But I think we're going to find out soon. I do. You know, I said after the TNT tournament, but it wouldn't surprise me if by next week or maybe even the week after we find out who John Moxley is going to be facing next for the title. Speaking of pay-per-views, the AEW did announce tonight that Double or Nothing is taking place, and it will be taking place on May 23rd. I think. Let me double-check that real quick. I'm pretty sure that's the date that I saw. Yes, May 23rd is the date of Double or Nothing. I have my opinions about this. I don't know if I want to talk about it now or if I want to save it for next week. You know, we still have a couple of weeks. What do we got? 6 weeks or so until Double or Nothing, maybe 7 weeks. And it's going to be probably at the Nightmare Factory, which is where they're doing Dynamite right now. I don't know. Don't know how I feel yet. I'm not 100% sure if they should do this pay-per-view or not. Maybe once it gets closer, I'll feel a little more strong about it. I have a personal connection with Double or Nothing, considering I was there last year. You know, I was there for AEW's first major event, and now they're talking about doing it in an empty arena. Maybe it's just a personal thought of mine instead of the, you know, the podcasting, just regular fan of AEW that I am, but not a big fan. Not a big fan right now of them doing Double or Nothing. But like I said, that'll probably change. It'll change by the time AEW or by the time Double or Nothing gets here. To be honest, guys, I felt the same way about WrestleMania. I didn't think WrestleMania should have happened. I still kind of feel like it shouldn't, but you know what? It entertained me, and I enjoyed both nights of it. And I figured Double or Nothing will be the same way because they're going to put on a good card. They're going to have great matches, and, you know, it's going to be a great show no matter what they do. But, you know, speaking of great shows, make sure you guys watch Be the Elite next week. If you guys haven't followed it, make sure you guys catch up over the last few weeks, especially the three-part episode they did this week, because there's a huge match next week that they're going to be doing at the what they're calling the BTE compound. It's at one of the Jackson brothers' house. I think it's Matt Jackson's house. On their tennis court, they have a wrestling ring set up, and Matt and Nick Jackson are going to be facing each other in a no disqualification match. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to, you know, going to be a great, great match. Both guys, we haven't seen a whole lot on Dynamite lately, just a little bit. Nick Jackson for sure because of the injury angle. And so if you guys want to see the Young Bucks go one-on-one, I think Matt said it's the first time they've went one-on-one in 10 years since they were in Impact. And before that was a long time ago on one of their first organizations they wrestled in. So these guys don't wrestle one-on-one very often, so this is a special treat for episode 200 of Being the Elite. So make sure you guys watch that. I will talk about it on next week's episode. We'll break it down a little bit, and then, you know, we'll get into more of the TNT tournament because next week we got another first-round matchup. We got two more first-round matchups to go before we get to the semis. So a lot going on, guys. AEW is moving forward. They're doing some good things. You know, I want to tell you guys again to make sure to listen to everything Matt has to say on his show because he will be breaking down all of the releases and everything going on in WWE. You know, it's a very tough day for the wrestling world today with all the releases and people losing jobs and, you know, very, very serious. And, you know, nobody explains it better than Matt does. So make sure you guys check out his show. He's going to give you guys the right information and fill you guys in on everything. So with that being said, guys, I hope you guys have a great rest of the week. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. This was a lot of fun as always. Enjoy the rest of the content. Enjoy your wrestling, everything you guys got going on. Stay safe. That's the most important. And I will see you guys next week for another edition of the All Elite Podcast.